ready to start?
Yes, we are ready.
There is a small modification in the order and the names of the speakers in this session. Unfortunately, General Petrescu, the chief of the general staff of the armed forces of Romania, has been caught in other business, one understands. Some of us have been busy people once in a while. So we shall have the first speaker, Ambassador Noble, His Excellency Ambassador to Bucharest. Then Dr. Philip Peterson from the Center for New Generation Warfare. Our old friend and co-worker, Mikhail Samus, Deputy Director for International Affairs at the Center for Army Convention and Disarmament Studies of Ukraine. And we have about 10 minutes for each of the speakers in order to leave room for some time for question and answers session. That is why I'm not going to introduce every speaker on the panel, because you already have, as attachment to the program, the short bios for every one of them, with the exception of General Iulian Berdila, Major General Iulian Berdila, commander of the multinational division Southeast, stationed in Romania, a soldiers, with all his education both in Romania and abroad, plus his assignments are those of a military man with stints in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he's looking forward to bring this multinational division to full battle readiness as soon as possible. The focus of this session is on the Black Sea. It may seem kind of an obsession with the Romanians, which is explainable because we live there. And we would rather prefer to continue to be able to live there. I would say that the attention Europe has been giving to part of its territory, the Black Sea, was belated and timid. And our American friends have been ahead of the European strategic thinkers, generals and diplomats alike, in discovering that the Black Sea matters for European security. And it was in the mid to late 90s that the idea took shape, thanks to the personal efforts of the then ambassador, Romanian ambassador to Washington, now Deputy Secretary General of NATO, Ambassador Mircea Jean, together with the late Ronald Asmus, Assistant Secretary of State for European Affairs of the U.S., who was the heart and soul, and we published together 3 or 4 more books on why the Black Sea matters, and we are being proven right after quite a few years. So it's time for our European partners and friends to, I think, to wake up And the idea is to reestablish a sort of a congruent balance between the capabilities and interests and time allotted to the Black Sea. Before I start giving the floor to the speakers, I'd like to mention that you will find on your seats or at the secretariat of the conference the latest baby of the new strategy center, this time together with the Center for New Generation Warfare, who were not just co-writers of this paper, but also active co-participants in the design and conduct of the simulation exercise, which was held this past summer at the Land Forces Academy in Sibiu, Romania. And the conclusions are unusually frank, occasionally critical, and therefore highly useful for professionals, both military and civilian. So I would only want to say that this paper focuses on a specific region in Romania, which is the southern equivalent of the Fulda Gap. It is the Focșani Gate, and it is not by accident that the great and very talented Russian military commander, General Suvorov, got his title of nobility as a result of the battle fought and won in that very spot. His title is Knyaz Suvorov Rymnikski, because he fought and won a battle against the Ottoman armies at Rymnik, very close to that area. Without further ado, I am pleased and honored to give the floor to my colleague and friend, the British ambassador to Bucharest, and a friend, I dare say, also a friend of the new strategy center, because he visited with us and we had good conversation. Mr. Noble, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Ambassador, and thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here. I'm going to stick to two core principles of modern diplomacy. The first is environmental awareness. And if you spot yourself surrounded by people who have lived, breathed, and created NATO for the last, in some cases, over 40 years, don't think that you're going to get away as a generalist by telling them about NATO. So I'm not going to tell you about NATO. The second thing is to obey your instructions. Now, that's quite counterintuitive at the moment, because during PERDA, my instructions mean that if you find yourselves thinking about marginal seats and what is tactical voting on the 12th of December, that's fine. Because one of our instructions is, don't say anything that might distract from the general election. So, you know, think on it. Plaid Cymru's chances in Wales. It's perfectly legitimate. And what I did think I would do is take my cue from the Romanian Defence Minister and just say a little bit about the bilateral underpinning of NATO engagement in the Black Sea area. Not least because this event today is politically significant. And it marks a component of an increasing trend of thicker and thicker connections between the UK and Romania. And why does that matter? Well, it matters because it's new. And the newness of Romania and the UK is something that we actually need to bear in mind. Now, it's new, but it's also getting quite substantial. And in pure defence terms, the the signature of the UK-Romania Defence Bilateral MOU early this year, marked a very important statement of ambition about what we do, UK and Romania, in military terms. Last week, we signed the action plan which will put that MOU into operation. But it does mean that the UK is one of the most advanced NATO allies in its bilateral engagement with Romania. And the level of British ships' visits, of British participants in exercises in Romania, and the amount of discussion that we have is towards the top end of the spectrum. It's for that reason that we are very often given a lot of compliments about our engagement on Black Sea security together with the United States. And you've heard that there are four nations who've participated in air policing in Romania. And that's quite a small club. I think it does say something about the level of individual allies' engagement on Black Sea security with the key ally who is actually making this a top topic for NATO. The UK is doing all sorts of other things as well to respond to Russian threats. We are talking, we have a StratComs aspect in our work, led by the Cabinet Office in the UK, together with the Romanian Foreign Ministry and agencies and departments. We're not remotely able to monitor what the Russians are doing in Romania, but I was very struck when I was in the Romanian equivalent, if you like, of Caithness and Sutherland a couple of weeks ago, to hear that throughout his time the Russian ambassador has been in that particular county about twice a month, which is a pretty odd state of affairs. I managed it for the first time after 16 months, and if success was to be measured by the Russian ambassador's presence, I'm clearly failing. But actually, what is it about Maramuresh that is so passionately interesting for the Russians? We know that our colleagues have told us about the Russian interest in some of the minorities in Romania, and a country with 18 different ethnic minorities provides some rich turf to sow the seeds of the psychological warfare that we're seeing around Europe. It's very fortunate that Romania shares what Thomas Rees referred to as being a particular Baltic phenomenon of a deeply ingrained sense of the Russian problem. And a key, I may give you Romanian trivia, I apologize, but you know, 14 Russian invasions since 1750, I think is quite a consciousness-building exercise to go through. I think one of the things, I've been in Bucharest for 16 months, one of the things that slightly surprises me is the sense of normality. By that I mean how allies and member states respond to Romania. And I think there's something about NATO allies since 2004 and EU member states since 2007, which implies normal has been achieved. You can just carry on as if it's just Belgium in a different place. I think it's very important to bear in mind that we are building up to the 30th anniversary only of Romania's freedom from communism. The minister referred to 1996 in his opening remarks, which non-Romanians won't particularly have picked up. But 1996 is pretty much when reform started after the fall of communism. So what we see in Romania's armed forces and Romania's institution building and the economic development is something that's only been taking place for 23 years. And 23 years after a period in social, economic, and political history where Romania essentially had bled to death as a result of Ceausescu's policies, and where the level of alternative thinking was far lower than in the Soviet Union or Poland or Hungary or Czechoslovakia or East Germany or wherever you care to mention, with the possible exceptions of Bulgaria and Albania. And a country which has been at the top of European growth rates since it started reforming has covered a huge amount of area, but actually probably has still some area to cover in the sense of full normalization and being just like any other ally or member state. And events like this, bringing LSE ideas and the new strategy centers together, are a relative rarity as far as the UK goes and many other allies. And I think it is profoundly to be welcomed. And the strength of what you get by participating with the new strategy center is something that an outsider like me can emphasize without Ambassador Celak actually blushing. But it's really important to think of Romania not as the country of orphanages and wild dogs, which, I mean, let's face it, that's a lot. That's the only thing a lot of people know about Romania. But in strategic and political terms, this is a country with a very long tradition of security engagement in its area, in its neighbourhood. It has a very clear perspective out into the Black Sea, northwards into Ukraine and the Republic of Moldova, but also across the Black Sea to Turkey and southwards to the Western Balkans. It's the post-Brexit, it will be the sixth biggest EU member state, and a country which in military terms has provided a level of out-of-area capability, and we were hearing earlier on about how that can be a malformation professionnelle. But the Romanian contribution to security as we have defined it in the last 26 years has been really quite phenomenal. So I said I wouldn't talk about NATO, and I don't think I have. I will leave the rest of it to those who are more capable. But it is the military relationship between UK and Romania is getting stronger all of the time. I think there are many other allies who probably need to engage a little bit more, but also need to be have a bit of sensitivity to reflect on the fact that this is still a very young but a very self-confident country. It's just been through political changes in 2019, which make it much easier to deal with. And I look forward to our future engagement with New Strategy Centre as an embassy, but also as the UK. I think this is a very important dialogue. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Ambassador. May I now invite Major General of the multinational division of South.
Your Excellencies, thank you so much. Again, Major General Bedur, MND Southeast Commander, a NATO force structure headquarters in Romania, very relevant for what we discussed today. I will go back a little bit to and underline what Ambassador Celak mentioned, that the Black Sea is not an obsession, and I think it's not going to be a nightmare either. So with all our actions today and the increased readiness in the region, I think we can contribute to a better coherence on the eastern flank. I have the privilege today to represent also General Petrescu with his urgent business with the minister. I think I was very happy to find out I'm a reserve chad for at least for this panel. Also representing the Romanian military, and last but not least, the headquarters of Multinational Division Southeast. 15 nations represented in Multinational Division Southeast. 15 nations, allied nations, that I'm proud to be the commander of. A young structure, but also a very much relevant position in this pivotal anchorage of security and defense in Romania. I will touch a few points that General Petrescu really wanted to underline today for the discussion and the dialogue. Then I'll add just a couple more comments, hoping that the questions and answers will be more to the point and benefit on both sides for a dialogue of construction. Thinking about what we do in the Black Sea, the security developments in 2014 marked a turning point in NATO's approach to its collective defense. What we mean is security concerns and adopt an enhanced deterrence and defense posture as a means to protect and defend the Allied territories and populations. This was very important for 2014 because it really brought to also the public attention some developments in security and defense that are so relevant for how militaries are built, how capabilities are developed, and especially what that 2% means when it's transformed into real capabilities. With our colleagues and subordinates and friends, even in MND Southeast, we recognized more of a metaphor of arithmetics, but Article 3 plus 2% makes Article 5. It's not just the mathematics, but it's a statement that allows first to realize that what you do in Article 3, what responsibility you take for that, what kind of readiness you build against the emerging threats is very much important. A little bit about the EFP and the TFP, because they're enhanced tailored force, forward presence and tailored forward presence. Two parts of the Eastern Front that are very much relevant, but they actually mean the same. For us, forward presence today, it's something coherent. It stayed in the lexicon because this is how it was approached initially to increase awareness and readiness. But today, especially between Poland and Romania, between the Baltic Sea and the Black Sea, a lot of the measures taken in the allied environment, training, for instance, it's very much a proof of how responsibly we address some of the issues. Now I'll mention just a little bit of the military domains of the TFP. We have the headquarters, Multinational Brigade Southeast, the subordinate headquarters to my headquarters, and that's the land domain. It is operational, and we're working for the transformation of this initiative for a training framework. What we mean is we need to address crisis not just by training, but also by an articulated concept of operation. And we're looking regionally to bringing allies like Bulgaria together in that AOR and train for how we're going to fight and win, not just to train to fight. That is very important in the land domain. In the air domain, NATO Enhanced Air Policing and Air Combined Training Initiative are progressing with rotation allied forces patrolling the Romanian-Bulgarian airspace. The ambassador, UK ambassador to Romania, His Excellency, was mentioning the participation of British forces to this. And this is very important because it shows not just the flag, but it shows the coherence and the importance of participation of such capabilities in the Black Sea region. On the maritime component, the minister was mentioning this morning also the regional maritime coordination function, that it is functional, but we also consider that we need to establish the center as initially designed and located in the region. What we mean, we want more situational awareness attuned to what we call BACO, the baseline activities, current operations, basically peacetime. So a maritime function inside the region of the Black Sea deployed there forward would very much understand faster and more relevant what are the indicators developing in the what the minister called the platform, the Russian platform for projecting strategic maneuver. A joint level, we have the combined joint enhanced training, which is an initiative operational and provides regional training for allies that can affiliate and send troops in the region. I would add to this the importance of the strategic diversity in the area of the Black Sea region. Now, I want you to look at the texture of partners in the Black Sea region and the strategic culture of the partners in the Black Sea region in comparison with the North, also in comparison with the Mediterranean, Moldova, Ukraine, and Georgia. very much specific partners for the relationship with NATO, and I would say also with the European Union. But specifically for training opportunities, we're committed to bring the partners inside the exercises, because let's face it, it's not just about Russia. That development task, how do we develop more the alliance in the region, the Black Sea region? So it's not just Russia every day, 24/7. It's what we do for the partners to keep them engaged in the, into the development area that we want to train with. Also, the it was mentioned this morning, the Romanian offer to establish headquarters MNC Southeast. And this was a very much relevant effort for the operational gap that we all recognize in the command and control for how the alliance recognizes and reacts to crisis in the Black Sea region. We had the, as I mentioned, the multinational brigade, the multinational division, but the tactical level, I will not get into too much, too many military terms, this would be the tactical level of the concept of operation. What we need is someone at the higher level of understanding, and this is the core to be in the Southeast, to bridge strategy and tactics, to make sure understands and plugs in a lot of the situational awareness and early warning. Our brother in the north is going to be MNC Northeast, which is the core level headquarters in Poland. And in that articulation of coherence in the land domain especially, this is to be developed. The minister also mentioned the for this coherence relevancy, the time and space challenge. We can, Romania, going back to the Article 3 plus 2%, Article 5, Romania can have that 2%, but can I have, or do I have the luxury for the time and space to build and to stay at least the same quantity as the threat develops? No. If I do it by myself, Russia is moving much faster with a larger quantity, Black Sea region, I can't do that. I need this coherence of the all the allies to come into the region with capabilities. Last point that I talked with John Petrescu this morning was just some means to maintain and strengthen the readiness and forward presence in the Black Sea. One would be the enforcing of the TFP, a fully fledged brigade. It's what I mentioned, move or transform from a brigade, a multinational brigade based on training, to a multinational brigade based on the concept of operation in times of crisis. Implementation of the agreed package for the Black Sea. This was very much welcome because it recognized politically the relevancy of the Black Sea region and especially some emergent indicators that for some time, starting with 2014, became critical. Agree and prepare to implement the response plans for the region. This is very important. I would mention the synchronization of plans as a critical capability for the center of gravity of the alliance in the Black Sea region. Because the way we synchronize the concept, and this is not, it doesn't have to be the same language or the same page, but how to synchronize the national defense plans of allied members, the graduated response plans, and more importantly, how to bring reinforcements into Europe. These three concepts have to be cohesive and coherent, like the ministry mentioned this morning. Why? Because it produces articulation and effectiveness of this strategic culture. We can say it every day that we need a culture of readiness, but this synchronization of plans would bring a lot of measures of effectiveness for the translation of that. Improve mobility to compensate for time-space gap between Russia and NATO. This is partially probably a good news when you look at the operational terrain between the Russians and Romania. You have some partners in between, and I mean Moldova today, but that time or that space available for indicators and warning needs to be capitalized by plans again. Now that mobility, whatever Russia does, in order to accumulate offensive power, you still need to become visible. The moment you start bringing forces to, let's say, conduct an offensive, with the adequate ISR, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance capabilities, we can see that. So that's a plus we have on this side. And that mobility, that increased mobility is also important. Not only in on the forward edge of the battle, but also look in the rear. How we build mobility on rivers, on airports, and especially on roads and railways is very important. I would mention here, again, the coherence with Poland to build what's called the Via Carpatica, a project that is very much economic based, but has also importance for military plans. And increased national resilience. I would actually mention three R's here: resilience, responsibility, and resonance. The resonance of the capacity of the Romanian military, it's so important for the region because that's how you resonate. You support security in the region. You're in between the Western Balkans and the Black Sea, so you have a lot of challenges for your own 360-degree environment. Resilience, it's what you do inside. And I would mention here the interagency platform that the last national security strategy built. Very important on how, let's say, Minister of Internal Affairs and Minister of Defense cooperate for integrating capabilities in times of crisis. Last but not least, responsibility. So you have to assume that regional hub responsibility for integrating and catalyzing allies and partners, because this is important. This is how you bring the capacities together. And this is how you prove in time that yes, your 2% was worth it to transform into real capabilities. I would conclude then to just mention that we are committed to do our share. We can do this sharing together with the same values, which is very important, and having to address common security challenges. So two main ingredients of why we're still together and why we matter in terms of security and defense. Now, NATO celebrated 70 years of existence, but Romania celebrated 15 years since it joined the alliance. Two numbers that really represent something. 15 years, it is something. Back to the 30 years increment of how the nation is rebuilt. I very much say that today we are a consolidated and irreversible democracy. I think we're over that turning point, and this needs to be consolidated. Last point I would like to make is to underline the importance of think tanks and how we build the narrative and how we do these engagements together with the military and the public partnerships we have today, even the education at the London School of Economics. Because the question is, how to think, reflect, and generate innovation? Well, this is an engine for that. The activity for today is something that is relevant for keeping the dialogue about security and defense open, and also explain. I would stop here waiting for your questions and leave the others to contribute, and thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you, General, for your presentation, in beautiful English, by the way, and also for having reduced it to the time available so that we can have a question and answer session afterwards. So the next speaker is Dr. Philip Patterson, the president of the Center for New Generation Warfare USA.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. I take that last comment as a reinforcement of Gordon's instructions to be brief, so I'm going to use that as an excuse to be blunt. We were asked two questions for this panel. Turning to the first, understand that the Russians already treat the Black Sea as a Russian lake. NATO and its allies need to prepare to deny Russia use of the Black Sea to project military power. This will require modern submarines, missiles, fixed-wing aircraft, and modern ISR assets. NATO and the European Union member states need to construct the capacity to rapidly shift forces and capability to Romania and practice doing so. This capacity needs to include the ability to, without Turkish cooperation or consent, close the Black Sea egress and ingress. Currently, NATO is neither doing what is needed in the Black Sea nor what is possible in the Baltic Sea. Turning to the second question, Russia understands that Sweden and Finland are no longer neutral states, and this has required changes in Russian operational strategic plans and capabilities. These changes were reflected in Zapad 2017. The new military political balance in the North provides for the opportunity to turn the Baltic Sea into a European lake. Since deterrence flows from perceived capability and will, the West needs to practice doing so. Poland is surrounded by allies, committed to its defense. Romania, on the other hand, is less fortunate. Like Poland in the north, Romania represents a center of gravity for Western defense. The country's strategic infrastructure needs to be upgraded to meet this status. Both EU and NATO funds need to be dedicated to make this happen. Whatever cannot be rapidly transferred to Romania must be pre-positioned, starting with American M1 tanks, as well as weapons for Apache tank killers. Having completed my task in less than 10 minutes, I'm going to take an opportunity to just make a few comments. The picture on the upper left is overhead photographs of M1 tanks sitting in the American desert, which are maintained there at taxpayer expense, when they should be in Europe, maintained by taxpayer, European taxpayer expense, where they will be useful. If one takes a look at the pictures on this graphic, you'll see the terrain in Romania was made by God himself for tank warfare. Not just tank warfare, American tank warfare. We don't have these light pussy tanks that the Allies have. We have a huge, enormous, heavy tank, which is, by the way, too heavy for Polish territory north of the Bug River. But in Romania, wow, that terrain was made for that tank. And that's how to put the fear of God into the Russians and deter them. Thank you, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank you very much.
So the last speaker of the panel is our friend Mihailo Samus, Deputy Director for International Affairs Center for Army Conversion and Disarmament Studies.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm proud to be here and thankful to my friends from New Strategy Center to invite me to be here, the only one representative of Ukraine, and give some non-NATO understanding what is going on in Europe, in our part of the Europe, in Black Sea region, because today we celebrating 25 years of signing of Budapest Memorandum, exactly today. And this is a very interesting point that 25 years ago, four leaders, US, UK, Russia, and Ukraine, signed the agreement which could be like a cornerstone for next security, at least in this part of the euro. But I think it could be a strategic influence on all of developments. Unfortunately, in 2014, we understood that it's not like this. And of course, in 2014, we remembered about the another date on Bucharest summit in 2008, which was again about, I would say, about responsibility and about leadership of NATO in modern Europe. Because both events, I told the Budapest Memorandum and Bucharest summit, it was Russian leadership. We need to say it, that in both Budapest Memorandum and Bucharest summit, Mr. Putin decided in 2008 and 2014 that Russia will lead this region. And what we have now, we had already several great presentations, starting with Ministry of Defense of Romania and with Major Juan Berdila, with Ambassador and Philippe. All of this estimation is absolutely right. But what we are feeling like outside of the NATO, I would say that now we often and often talking about that we again started to be a buffer zone. Ukraine now is shifting from the Euro-Atlantic dreams to buffer zone between Russia, aggressive Russia, which is actually yesterday was the clearly pointed in final declaration of the summit that Russia is a threat for European security, Euro-Atlantic security. And this Euro-Atlantic security, unfortunately, it looks like Ukraine is out of this Euro-Atlantic system for security and defense. And this is our understanding of the situation, not for everybody, even in Ukraine, but for me, for example, for my colleagues from the center, we think that now is a very critical point to understand that Russians, they act very strategically and they have a special concept to create a buffer zone and to set the, again, exclusive zone of influence. They like to say it, that Ukraine, I'm not talking about Belarus, because Belarus, unfortunately, step by step, becoming a total Russian territory. Now I will say, I will tell you about several points talking about, in our estimations of the situation and what we propose, and maybe it will be too innovative and too early to say these ideas, but I will try to do it. Of course, I support the estimation of Philip Peterson that Russia is totally controlling Black Sea. Ukraine understand it like a Russian lake in reality, because unfortunately, after almost 6 years of hot war between Ukraine and Russia, occupation and annexation of Crimea and conflict in Donbas, Ukraine didn't construct, didn't build efficient naval forces. I mean, of course we have a navy, but we don't have any fleet. So we have old ships, we have several small ships, but we still don't have any missile capabilities, strike capabilities. We don't have proper patrol ships. We don't have proper target acquisition system. We don't have early warning system. So it's like we have some parts of something, but unfortunately, Ukraine itself doesn't have the proper system to counter Russian threat, and especially on the Black Sea. And what we see now, that Russia create the natural aircraft carrier on the Crimea. It's they call it from the Soviet times a natural aircraft carrier. If you see the, if you started to count how many aircraft, how many missiles they put there for example, caliber missiles. Now they have approximately 100 caliber missiles in Crimea, based on the ships and submarines. Six new submarines, Varshavanka class, three new frigates, Grigorovich class. And what is interesting, Russia, because they have a problem with destroyer and frigates construction because of the technology, lack of technology, they started to build smaller ships, cheap ships, less than one ton displacement, but very efficient because of the missile capabilities. They put on the smaller ships caliber missiles and anti-ship missiles, and it's enough actually for Black Sea to control the area. And they have several of these ships. I told it they have approximately 100 caliber missiles with 2.5 kilometers range, which is cover all of Ukrainian territory and of course the European, the large part of the European territory. What about NATO? Our estimation is that unfortunately NATO doesn't have the proper strategy in Black Sea to stop a Russian dominance here. I call this concept on NATO the passive deterrence. Why passive? Because actually NATO showing to Russia that if Russia will cross the red lines, I mean the Article 5 commitments by NATO members, NATO will answer. But before red lines of Article 5, NATO won't make an answer. And Russia understood it clearly. So Russia attack Ukraine and Georgia, especially the 25th of November 2018, show that Russia could make any steps, could make any aggression in Black Sea, but without crossing the red line, Article 5, they will be out of punishment. They will be only under deep concerns by NATO, but not more. And this is true, unfortunately. That after 1 year, after this open act of aggression by Russian military ships, NATO didn't react properly, I think. So one point, even we talked about it, about Montreal Convention. Of course, the Montreal Convention limits a lot NATO abilities, NATO capabilities to make a fast approach and make a fast answer for Russian aggression, Russian dominance in Black Sea, because we are talking about only 21 days for 30 tons ships for non-Black Sea countries. It means, for example, it's approximately three UK Navy Type 45 destroyers or three US Navy Early Bird class destroyers. So it's only three destroyers more for 21 days. This is all of NATO capabilities possible because of Montreal Convention. This is reality. And this is geopolitical reality we need to live now. What we're proposing, I told that it could be innovative, but okay, let's be brave to think out of box. And I think that, first of all, of course, NATO needs to create own strategy in Black Sea. Not a tactical steps, not separate steps, but strategy. What NATO needs to have in Black Sea. And first of all, I think NATO needs to have a leadership in Black Sea. Not to allow Russians to be a leader, to make steps and after this react on it. But NATO needs to be a leader in this region, together with Ukraine and Georgia, of course. So that's why I propose that NATO or some countries of the NATO, and I hope that our great allies in Black Sea, it's Romania. Romania I propose that Romania could be a leader in this approach, and propose to create a new project for NATO, not on the political level, to avoid Article 5 commitments, but very practical project with focusing on, on capabilities. What I mean, for example, if you remember Alliance Ground Surveillance Project, which is pretty voluntary based. I mean that 15 countries make together the surveillance capabilities by strategic UAV, they directly bought in the United States. I propose to create something like this, but a little bit more, because it could be beyond the NATO. So totally focusing on buying capabilities, ships for Romanian Navy and maybe for Ukrainian Navy, buying target acquisition capabilities, target early warning capabilities, buying reconnaissance, buying other means, other instruments, which is actually change the balance in the Black Sea. Talking about the possibility of Ukrainian participation in this, Ukraine is open for it, but I understand the problem is of the NATO rules, and it's very difficult to say that Ukraine could be inside of this project totally. But I think in some projects inside of this idea, it's possible to transfer to Ukraine some capabilities. Why not? I mean, if you're talking about Montreal Convention limitations, let's put several ships on Romanian flag and Ukrainian flag, and maybe Georgian flag, I don't know. We need to study this idea. But in this case, we will have ships, and I will say that we need to have ships with missile capabilities, first of all, strike capabilities, to stop Russians to think that they are a main player there. They could set the rules of the game. So this is my idea. I'd like to thank again, and I want to repeat that NATO, I think the NATO needs to be a leader in this region. NATO needs to remember that without leadership, it's impossible to be the greatest and the strongest union and military political union in the world. So I'm ready to answer your questions, and thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Samus. I think we have been lucky. We have almost a whole quarter of an hour for questions and answer. And I recognize Professor Dr. Thomas Reeds from Sweden. Wait for the mic, please.
Everything is recorded. That's good, yes. thank you very much for this. Let me address the elephant in the room. What is Turkey's role in the defense of the Black Sea? And this may sound naive. I'm not that naive about Turkey, but I do know nothing about actually the defense arrangements in the south. So that's my question. What is Turkey taking? What responsibility is Turkey taking for the defense of the Black Sea, for Romania, and so forth?
Thank you, of course. I'll go back to what the minister mentioned today, and I like the image of how an elephant would live with a porcupine and all that environment. But I just came back from Istanbul. I will tell you from my level, Multinational Division Southeast, and then the NATO Rapid Deployable Corps in Turkey. General Yeni sat down. We talked very effectively. He's in the exercise. We're participating from Romania, from the Multinational Division with augmentees, and we train for more relevance in the region. This is a very complicated challenge. This the type of threats and indicators in the Black Sea require complexity of scenarios for trading. I would mention again in my discussion with Giuliani, very good. We sat down for half an hour. How do you recognize an old domain responsibility for deterrence? Okay, so it's just the military, but then what do you do with the, let's say, with energy infrastructure in the Black Sea? What about the economic corridors? How do you bring into the scenario something like this? In NRDC Turkey, it's been very cooperative to share assumptions for training scenarios. And we all built on that because we need to be coherent in the ways we adapt the plans. That's, I mentioned the synchronization plan. Mm-hmm. So that's one part. The second part, I think, important for that environment is again, how do we develop further, let's say, exchange of personnel? How do we contribute to manning NATO force structure headquarters in Turkey? How other nations participate in Romania? This exchange of personnel creates day by day the future leadership. And I will just mention another critical capability, which I think it's important for the center of gravity of the Black Sea region, leadership. How we train today middle-level management officers, in our terms, captains and majors, NCOs, non-commissioned officers, and how do we put them in exercise is very important. And NRDC Turkey has been very much a lead NATO force structure for that.
Are there any things to be added by panelists?
Yeah, both of us.
I'd like to add that maybe it will be surprising for you, but Turkey is very cooperative for Ukraine in supporting in practical means. If it looks like we know from the media that Turkey is buying S-400 air defense system from Russia. In the same time, it's not very often in media, but Turkey sold to Ukraine operational level UAV with strike capabilities, which Russia doesn't have yet. For example, Turkey is selling to Ukraine communications for all of armed forces now, and Turkey is participating in some shipbuilding programs in Ukraine already, talking about the Corvettes, for example. So it's, we understand in Ukraine that Turkey has own interests and has own, let's say, game as a regional leader, focusing on the Middle East and mostly to the south, not to the Black Sea. So I think it's possible to create some successful cooperation with Turkey, even in these complicated conditions.
Just make a remark that, contrary to all the propaganda that comes out of Moscow and is now, I see, being picked up in Western media, NATO enlargement was about bringing stability to Eastern Europe. The only secure borders Russia has are with NATO members. So in that regard, you take a look at the situation where the Turkish Navy is not in the Black Sea, but in fact in the Adriatic Sea. We were recently doing a simulation in Crete, and the Greek officers came to us and said, you know, you Americans have to do everything you can to keep Turkey in NATO. We understand the consequences of that not happening. So it is more complex, Tom, than just our dealing with the Russian problem. And I know you understand that.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
Well, first of all, a couple of words. I'm, of course, representing NATO, but also a Turkish national, so I may add my voice. There are a couple of things which needs to be understood. Turkish Navy is in the Black Sea. There is no question about that. Turkey is one of the littoral countries and making a contribution to Black Sea security. Turkish maritime patrol aircraft crafts are contributing to surveillance activities. And we have to remember that in 2016 Warsaw Summit meeting, it was Turkey to highlight the importance of Black Sea security and that NATO should pay more attention to Black Sea. But Turkey's position is also limited with few facts. One is Montreux Convention, which many speakers have already alluded to. And being the custodian of this treaty, wants to keep it intact and to make it function to all of our interests. And second, while having NATO presence in the Black Sea, and it has increased, we used to have 80 days of standing naval groups presence. Now it is almost 150 days per year. There are joint exercises with our partners, Ukraine and Georgia. And we are supporting, as NATO, the coastal guard and maritime structures of our partners. And one other consideration Turkey has mind, it's in mind, is while taking all these measures, not to provoke Russia. It's a political consideration. And we shouldn't mix things regarding acquisition of S-400s and Turkey's orientation. It's a valued ally within NATO, and it will remain so. At NATO-Russia Council meetings, it is Turkey all the time reminding the illegitimate annexation of Crimea and conveying the strongest messages to the Russian envoy that it will never, ever recognize this blatant violation of international law. Therefore, we, and I very much agree with our Ukrainian friend that there are lots of projects going on bilaterally between the two countries. And I think Turkey will still be part of the joint efforts in making Black Sea a more safe, secure, stable area in the wider sense. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have just time for one question or comment. Briefly, please, because now we are standing between your hunger and the lunch.
Just a quick question. Dr. Peterson showed a chart of Russian keep-out areas for live fire exercises in the Black Sea, which extended and violated several countries' EEZs. My question is, did they in fact conduct exercises in those areas in the EEZs, in Ukraine and Romania? And if they did, what did you do about it, and what was the effect?
Anyone specifically addressed to?
I'll start, because I'll give my friend some time to build the answer. That is coming up. This was observed recently, and it's the Russian method of strategic compromise. Okay, so they'll innovate a little bit to the line of, well, it's not crossing a red line. This is okay. Economic exclusive zones. Yes, it does take longer for NATO to come together with a decision. But when it comes, it's cohesive, I would say. To this point, what did we do? I think the recognition that Russia is trying to actually suffocate the Black Sea with density of training centers. Do they actually conduct to the area they presented the exercises? No, but they're trying to build a measure that is it's a compromise if you don't take countermeasures. To the point is,
Well, it's not more exercises, but what's the quality of the training? How do we bring more of the standing naval maritime group activity in the Black Sea? And again, to that suffocation of density from the Russians, how do you constrict? My point is, going back to what the minister mentioned, this is their power base. By now, the Black Sea region has a density of so many capabilities and so much volume that we need to come back and constrict. It is an old domain, and this is where the Russians probably have some of their minuses. They're coherent, their strategic leadership and strategy, but when it comes to the diversity of instruments used, I think they have an issue because it takes some time to understand how NATO approaches that. So, Mr. Melcher, I'm not sure I answered that, but I think I gave enough time to my Ukrainian friend too.
I'd like to add that they are not only using the exercises areas, but for example, they use the energy infrastructure to show that this is the Russian property and they will secure this property. Additionally, they use this infrastructure to put some reconnaissance and surveillance equipment to show that and to use it to extend their capabilities. And what I like to add that when we together with our colleagues with from the new strategy center in September this year played a game on what Russia could make in Black Sea, it was a total understanding that Russia could occupy Serpent Island, and it will be a very decisive point for Romania as well, because it will directly touch the economical interests of Romania. And we understood that in this case, we don't have any instruments yet how to react on it. Not Ukraine, not Romania, and not NATO. So I think we should think about it, and again, we should build our own capabilities to change the balance. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think we have earned our lunch. We worked well this morning. Bon appetit, everybody. See you in another round.